So from the relatively small picture debate over whether to release photos of the Bin Laden raid to the details of the intelligence statecraft and tradecraft that may be the lessons learned in the success of the raid to get Osama bin Laden, we look at the big picture in the region. What just happened? The best person to talk about that with, of course, is Nicholas Kristof, columnist for our partner, The New York Times, who's been covering the democracy events in the Middle East as well as this story since the raid on bin Laden's compound in Pakistan on Sunday. Nicholas Kristof, good morning.
Good morning.
You know, there's a tendency to fit these into some sort of historical pattern. It does seem to me that the big picture here is a portrait of a competing ideology. The jihadist movement, in a sense, on the ropes in the region and around the world, and the pro-democracy movement, perhaps not supplanting it, but certainly appearing to have a lot more power than it did even a year ago.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that al-Qaeda was already becoming somewhat marginalized, and it was being supplanted not only by the more secular, young pro-democracy activists, but also by the Islamist movements like the Muslim Brotherhood, which are, you know, greatly at odds with al-Qaeda, but prefer a more democratic, more peaceful path toward democracy.
Do you see Hamas emerging as a jihadist voice of the Palestinians or being buried in a more let's get down to business and get a real government in place? That was another one of the revelations that took place really within the last week, Hamas and Fatah together.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to me that Gazans and indeed, you know, most people in the region that, you know, they care about religious piety, but above all, they care about living a better life. And the complaint that I hear from Gazans when I go there is that Hamas just does not deliver and that there's this deep frustration with unemployment, with the quality of life. They do think that Hamas has not been so bad on corruption, and they kind of respect that. But, you know, I think that it's sometimes easy from a distance to sort of exaggerate the degree to which some of these decisions are ideological versus just the normal day-to-day aspirations and frustrations that people have about getting jobs, about living a better life.
What does this mean for America in the region? It seems that while it clarifies America's role in the war on terror for a moment, it deprives the United States of an argument for being in places like Afghanistan and Iraq, and that as we go forward, America's leadership in the democracy movement looks less clear than more clear at this point. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think it would. I mean, I think the crucial theater here is AFPAC, and there is this basic question. You know, we've spent roughly $20 billion in Pakistan, largely bolstering the Pakistani military, and then, you know, it can't even seem to buy us a military that that either helps us get bin Laden and may even be one that has sheltered him. And in Afghanistan, of course, the initial reason for going in was to go after al-Qaeda. I do think, though, that, you know, potentially one gain here is that it may be easier to work out some kind of a political deal in Afghanistan. I think that, you know, a lot of people aren't willing quite to say it, but I think that in the U.S. and Afghan governments, there is a feeling that the way out is going to be some kind of a political deal between the Karzai government and the Afghan Taliban. And that is, and one of the obstacles to that in the past was these foreign fighters, al-Qaeda, and the requirement that the Taliban give them up. With bin Laden out of the picture, I think that's going to be a little bit easier to accomplish. And it was striking that the Afghan Taliban did not say particularly nice things about bin Laden after he was killed.
Indeed. A columnist for our partner, The New York Times, Nicholas Kristof. Nick, can I ask you about one of your tweets? I know you only have about, you know, 300 million followers in the world. Since the bin Laden raid, you suggested that possibly Ray Davis, the arrested and expelled CIA officer in Pakistan, might have had something to do with this raid, and that was something to do with the hush-hush nature of his operation there in Pakistan, so close to what happened on Sunday. Did you get an answer to that?
No, I didn't. I And that was, you know, that was speculation. Clearly, the CIA was doing, you know, they were doing all kinds of surveillance on terrorism, including bin Laden. Whether Davis was actually focused on that compound, I just have no idea. But it certainly does explain why the CIA was so, you know, cautious about that information coming out. And you also wonder if there were elements in the ISI, Pakistani intelligence agency, who were so hostile to the CIA and trying to limit its ability to operate in Pakistan, whether that might have been related to an effort to prevent the CIA from uncovering what they were doing vis-a-vis bin Laden.
Indeed. You know, I know it's difficult to speculate if you're over there working at the Times. It's nice that Twitter is a little bit of an outlet for speculation on the part of really smart reporters there at the Times.
That's exactly right.
There you go. So finally, when the history of this period is written, where do you think the death of Osama bin Laden is going to fit?
I think it's going to be a real milestone. It's certainly been a you know, a huge success, and I think that it does create a possibility of putting some of that era behind us. I think that President Obama was absolutely right not to release the photos of the Osama corpse. I think that would have made it harder to end that chapter. But I guess the other question is, you know, whether this can in turn be a stepping stone to something more, to a better relationship with Pakistan that might allow us to go after terrorists in North Waziristan, and whether this might be a stepping stone toward some kind of a real political deal in Afghanistan that would allow us to bring back many of our troops.
Do you see signs that the administration might be headed in that direction?
I think in both camps, in both cases, we're trying that we would like to use this as leverage on Pakistan to be more cooperative and to stop protecting groups like the Haqqani Network of the Afghan Taliban, and to, you know, go after Mullah Omar and the other Afghan Taliban leaders in Quetta. And I think that, again, people are reluctant to say so, but there's clearly a sense that that it may be that the best way out of the problems in Afghanistan is going to be some kind of a political negotiation with the Taliban. And I do think everybody sees that this makes it easier.
All right. Nicholas Kristof, columnist for our partner, The New York Times, answering the question, really, what just happened, responding to the events of Sunday, the death of Osama bin Laden. Nick Kristof, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
And this is a conversation we've been having with our listeners as well all week long about the impact of the death of Osama bin Laden and whether or not they need to see photos of his body.
President Obama and the government say we don't need the photo to prove that Osama is dead. And then, I don't know, I say to myself, well, then how do we know? And they say, just take our word on it. Wow, do we look that dumb in the American public?
I can't see the caller, but I don't think the American public looks all that dumb. At the same time, I don't think that's the justification for not showing it, is that they think the American public looks dumb. But we want you to add your conversation to the mix, 8778-MY-TAKE. You can post your comment to thetakeaway.org. John, do you need to see it?
You know, personally, I don't even care one way or another. I do think it's interesting that I think the president projects power by withholding the picture. And
well,
I think that's a sort of a classic Machiavellian idea. And some of our listeners have texted messages like that. We also think, and it was related to the conversation at the beginning of the hour, we're past the period where a photo equals reality.
It's
anymore.
True. That's
a different year. We're beyond photography as well as beyond bin Laden. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.